When we speak of Jalal ad-Din Rumi, for me at least, I must also speak of Shams of Tabriz. For there was a yearning in Shams Tabriz's heart that was so deep that it reached all the way into his soul, the core of his being. And this yearning set him on a journey throughout the region during his lifetime, wandering and looking for another soul into which to pour his wisdom. If we separate these two, it is like looking at a great piece of art while not giving any consideration for its creator. And so we might say that Shams Tabriz and Jalal ad-Din Rumi were two sides of a same coin. When Shams knew that he was to meet Rumi, he had the knowledge that he would also pay for that companionship and that transfer of wisdom and knowledge with his life. And yet, he willingly moved ahead. For Rumi, his life would never be the same after meeting Shams Tabriz. When they first met, Shams told Rumi, "I will make you a poet." And although Rumi, out of great respect, did not contradict Shams, in his own mind he thought, "I'm no poet. I'm a scholar. I'm an advocate. I'm a lecturer. But I'm not a poet." We are gathered here today remembering his poetry. And so we know that it is the truth. We have the testament in all these writings. We bear witness to the fact that indeed Shams did transform Rumi in oh so many ways, and one of them was turning him into a poet. The first poem, titled Sun and Sky, is speaking to these beautiful qualities that Shams Tabriz reflected or revealed, we could also say, to Rumi. Sit with lovers and choose their state. Do not stay long with those who are not living in the heart. There is one who shines inside the face, whose hair grows with the world, whose eyes recognize you, whose body is all milk and honey, who holds absolute beauty in an embrace, full morning without dawn, essence without attributes, living without grief, twilight with no dark streaks in it. How can this be? Can the sun borrow light from the sky? Can the rose smell like jasmine? Be a fish in this ocean, speechless. I will whisper the answer in your ear. Do not tell anyone. In Tabriz, the one named Shams. The next poem is Back to Being. This uses the metaphor of the ocean and the fish, the vastness, the all-encompassing, the all-embracing ocean, and the individuation of the fish. Listen. The ocean can do without fish. My soul, let me tell you a secret. It is rare to meet a fish like the ocean. Seawater is the nursing mother, fish the crying babies. But sometimes the ocean comes looking for a particular fish to hear what it wants. The ocean will not act before it knows. The fish is an emperor then, the ocean its minister. How long will I keep talking in riddles? Shams is the master that turns the earth fragrant. When plants feel him near, they open out. I would not have a soul if after tasting the taste of Shams, I could go back to being who I was. The next poem, titled Perinda, The One Who Flies Away. Listen to this longing of Rumi for Shams. The one my soul is searching for is not here. Where has he gone? The one lit like a candle, like a seat with roses going around it. Our eyes look for that one first, but I do not see him here today. Say his name if anyone here has kissed his hand. Give us your blessing. I do not know whether to be more grateful for the existence of his face or for what is inside that. There is no one like him in the world. But if there's no form for that now, how is it that everything turns with the motion of his love? Say all the possible nicknames for Shams to Breeze. Do not hide anything from someone who only wants to be in his presence. The poem, The One Who Left, speaks again to this longing of Rumi for Shams to Breeze, and also of the attributes of Shams. Bring back the one who left. Lure him with music or any irresistible pretext. If he says, I will go there in a little while, that's part of his beguiling. His art that can tie strands of water into knots and make weaving of the wind. Do not accept those. Bring his presence. Sit down within that and live inside what is beyond physical beauty. Beyond the sun's extravagance or the handsomeness of human beings. Yemen has the most exquisite rubies, but the one I want to see coming through the door is the one who lives here. This next poem, titled The Cave Where Shams Tabriz Is Resting, speaks to Rumi's a willingness towards self-sacrifice and annihilation in devotion to his teacher, Shams Tabriz. Every day this separation, this December hoping for spring, city after city refusing me because of the prince I serve. My house and shop are torn down because of the tulips I grow. I suffer the cold arrogance of strangers because of a mountain with a ruby mine inside, the quarry that cannot be caught. Still, I keep spreading traps. You say, will you endure this failure and homelessness without relief? Yes, because my chest is a cave where Shams Tabriz is resting. And lastly, the poem titled The Lantern. It compares Shams to King Solomon, who built the first temple in Jerusalem, and it gives credit to Shams for all of Rumi's words. And again, we feel the surrender of the student to the teacher. You, so subtle you can slip into my soul. How would it be if you, for a time, were living visibly here? So hidden are you hidden from hidden things. You enter me, and my hiddenness shines like a lantern. O Solomon, who understands bird language and speaks it, what will you say now through my mouth? King, whose bow no one can draw, use me for an arrow. I am nothing but a head set on the ground as a gift for Shams. All of these poems come from the book titled Rumi, The Big Red Book by Coleman Barks. Ya Rumi, Ya Shams.